Hi, and welcome to Under an Open Heaven podcast. We are glad you are joining us as we explore the reality of God's love expressed in Scripture and our own personal experiences. Thanks for joining us today as we explore the reality that we live under an open heaven. Enjoy!
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Arthur Richardson, and I have with me Stephen Anderson this week. We're glad to have you back to Under an Open Heaven podcast. Real quick, kind of a service announcement. Just due to both of our schedules and just ease of creating good content, we're going to move to an every other week episode release. So starting this week, the next one will be released in 2 weeks. So yeah, if you're looking for more good content, there is about 2 years worth of episodes, so feel free to dive into those while we kind of get ourselves situated before we can go back to a once a week episode release podcast. So for right now, I think we both agree that it's best just to stick in every other week to best prepare. Alrighty, so diving in, we want to recognize that it is Good Friday. We also want to invite you into some of our reflections that we had upon the Triduum, these 3 days, as we reflect and we remember, we enter into Jesus' passion for us, his death and resurrection. The first point that we want to dive into is the servant's heart in the home. So the scripture passage that I want to reflect on is John chapter 13, verse 5, and then verses 12 to 14. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel around his waist. So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at the table, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightfully so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." So Jesus revealed, in a lot of ways, he bared his heart as a groom. He took off his clothes, his outer garments, and he was only wearing a towel. In a very interesting way, this kind of gives me a similar sense as the Transfiguration, where he kind of peeled back some of the humanity, you know, and revealed his divinity. In a lot of ways, he's peeling back a different sense of humanity, where we kind of like present ourselves in a certain way. Clothes give us the ability to present ourselves. They're kind of like a guard against the weather, but also kind of a guard against like to kind of direct human judgment. So he took that back. He peeled that back and presented himself as a servant of the lowest rank. Yeah, I've just been kind of reflecting, what does it mean to see Jesus clothed only in a towel and doing the lowest of the servant's work within the church, but also, I guess, like within our homes? Yeah, that's kind of a deeper spiritual question. But I think for me, what I'm seeing, honestly, for me, it's the dishes in my heart, like doing the dishes. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about you, but even just yesterday, this kind of leads into the next point, and we'll kind of dive into that. I kind of had this little revelation, and I promised Gabby that I would be doing the dishes, and I started them at like 9 o'clock, and I didn't finish them until about 10 o'clock. But I was just reflecting.
That sounds like you've been letting them sit around for a while.
I mean, we did miss a day, so yeah. I mean, I try to do it every other day. It's just difficult. We don't have a dishwasher, man, so we're doing them all by hand. It's rough. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, I mean, that's what it looks like in my household. You have any thoughts?
Well, what I was thinking about, it might not be so personal as this, but just about how, and this is, I don't want to be like off topic, but sometimes I feel like, especially in Catholicism, which is a lot more philosophical, there's this focus on, I guess, like what's just.
Yeah.
And people say, and you know, there's always this, well, justice and mercy are two sides of the same coin. It's like, yeah. And like, in some ideal way, yes. But also, like, there's a certain sense where, like, mercy leads to a different action than justice does.
Mm-hmm.
And people like to excuse themselves and their actions as being just, right?
Yeah.
And they define justice being, like, rightly ordered and like, you know, what you should be doing. But the thing is, mercy is, like, extraordinary. Justice is ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy is extraordinary. And when I think about Jesus, and it's like, why am I saying this? When I think about Jesus washing their feet, it's like, that's extraordinary,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's not like, what is just and fitting for his station? It's not really to, like, get down and wash the feet of human beings, right? Like, that's right. Humility and mercy. And so sometimes I think, and this is where it gets maybe a little more personal, is like, in our day, we're so, like, incredulous about something someone did to us, you know, or what our day should look like, or what the behaviors of people around us should be. And then, like, we're like, well, it's unfair. It's unjust that that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, yeah, well, you know what was else was unjust? Like, literally all of Jesus's life. The man was God. Him suffering a splinter, him suffering having to go to the bathroom, him suffering, you know, tired days. Like, that was all unjust too. To him, God just existing was unjust. You know, but it's like, what are we called to move past that injustice of the daily life? Because the world is unjust inherently. Just existing here is unjust. It's cruel. But but Jesus suffers that, and he shows us how. He says, you got to pick up the cross. You know, you got to get down and you got to wash the feet. Doesn't he say that later on? He's like, you guys got to do the same as this, right?
Yep.
You guys got to serve other people. And I think sometimes in the day to day, maybe it's because of our secular culture, our American culture, or just whatever, the culture in general, we're all focused on, like, how it should be. And we're not focused on, like, well, how can I actually be, like, more, like, merciful in this situation? And people always get angry at that notion. Not like the argument, but they get angry when they're confronted internally with that possibility, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Let them win? Let them win? You know, it's like, mm-hmm. it's not about winning. You've already lost if you're thinking about it in terms of winning and losing. So yeah, I don't know. That's just my thought in terms of like, what is it going to take for you to get down and wash somebody else's feet? You got to give up justice and you got to start embodying mercy, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you nailed it there. I mean, I feel like there's a temptation, right, to look at, you know, clericalism or other issues like that, which we don't really have much control over, you know, and say, like, it is a slap in the face to mercy for people to present themselves as it is justice to treat a priest with this, like, undue respect, or like the priest shouldn't have to do any work or any menial work or anything like that. But in all honesty, like, if we were to take what Jesus is saying here, like, the priest should, you know, be serving his people. And if he needs to, like, mop the floors, that's what it takes, right? You know? So, I mean, like, not to get into it, because, like, let's be honest, if you read canon law, there's so many overly high expectations set upon priests. So, I mean, I do not envy them in any way, shape, or form. But, to throw on another one, you know, I think it is to be a servant of all. And you know what? You want to extend that, men and women in the family, that extends to you too. You know, like, I've heard it said, and I believe it, like, the man is the priest of the home. You know, what does that mean? That means he's the one leading the sacrifice. That means he's the one who's bedding down and, especially in your case, you know, changing the diapers, cleaning the toilet, doing the dishes, and doing it with a smile on the face, you know? I think kind of the opposite of that, of like, maybe this expectation of, like, I should be able to kick back in my lazy boy, you know, drink my beer and watch the sports game. I think that would be a sense of justice. I think we need to get rid of that, you know? So next I want to move into the next question that I had. on this passage. Jesus washed their feet. And he says this is a symbol of like me washing away your sins, because Peter doesn't want Jesus to wash his feet. And he said, if I do not wash your feet, you will have no inheritance with me. I want to dive into that. Why would he want to wash their sins away? Right before he knows they're going to reject him. They know they're going to abandon him and commit apostasy. Apostasy is a mortal sin. That is like, that's like the thing. Right. That's a pretty big, it's a pretty big no-no. So I don't know. I just kind of was thinking about that, and my immediate gut reaction is that he wanted to teach them so much. And I think his extending of mercy rather than justice in this act made them more malleable to be able to receive his words and receive his teachings, his, if you will, his last will and testimony for them, so that they can better receive that. And if you look at the depravity of the clouded mind of Judas after his betrayal, he ended up rejecting God's mercy to a point where, as far as we know, there's no point of return. We don't know for sure. That's between him and God. But what we do know is that God was trying to prepare them to receive his mercy just in general. I just want to leave us with this point on this passage. Jesus asked the apostles, do you understand? And I want to pose that to us. Do we understand? Do we understand how to do this in our own homes? I mean, I just throw out a few chores. This goes deeper than chores. This goes deeper than just like, I think, doing stuff. I think it is a mindset right down to it that we have to establish of like having this idea that I am not to be served. I am to serve. I mean, it's okay for people to serve me, because it would be just the same as you can be greedy about giving mercy and giving the opportunity, like having the opportunities to love. As weird as that is, I ran into that as a missionary. There are a lot of people who wouldn't let other people love them or serve them or be like merciful to them. And it's like the same thing that goes right back to Peter, you know, where he rejects God's love and his attempt to show him mercy. We just have to let other people as well serve us, but we also have to have the mindset that we are a servant of all.
I like it.
So moving on, this was kind of like the epiphany that I had and just kind of mulling things over, the fruit of having a mindset of being a servant for me last night, actually. I've been reflecting on, actually it came up in like a little like YouTube short. The guy's name is like Tim from the basement or something like that. Anyway. He was talking about just the short of some of one of his episodes that I haven't watched, but along the lines of like, who are you kidding yourself? I've been abandoned by God. He's let me down. And I've been like struggling with that. You know, he even sings the song that like I was using to justify, you know, like suppressing this feeling of like, you're never gonna let me down. You know, yeah, I just totally suppressed this feeling, and it's been growing because I've felt like there's just been a cycle of just bad stuff that's happened in my life, largely due to things that are well out of my control, whether they're directly correlated to other social problems in the world or just health things, you know, within my family. And there's a deep sense of feeling let down. And I've been suppressing that. And I felt like that has like really harmed of my authenticness and my ability to actually go to God in prayer to receive like fruitfulness. So the scripture passage that I want to reflect on is Mark 15, verse 33. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? Yeah. Man, when we sing this psalm, it just like, it makes me teary-eyed. It just fills me with so much emotion. Because I feel it, you know? But the thing is this hit me kind of hard. Right after Jesus cries this out, he releases his spirit, right? He releases his human spirit and puts it into the hands of the Father. And I realize that he's showing me how to release my human spirit, the one that's rebelling, the one that's fighting, even though it feels like I'm pinned to my situation. I can release my spirit to the hands and arms of the Father. And I can walk with Jesus through that dark valley into the light of the resurrection, you know. I don't know. I mean, like, it's interesting. I have been dealing with this expression of this feeling of not wanting to admit that God has abandoned me for kind of a long time. And I just want to pose the question of, like, why is it so difficult to admit when we feel abandoned by God or let down?
Well, I think most people, maybe it's different for Catholics, but I feel most people are willing to admit that they're abandoned by God. And then they just kind of feel like, oh, he abandoned me, I'm going to abandon him. I guess maybe those are your more lukewarm people.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I don't know, on the religious level, maybe there's like this afraid, there's this fear that it's like blasphemous. You know, like internal, like, oh, I'm not allowed to think anything bad about God. But in reality, it's not something bad about God. It's more like a reflective question. Like, whenever people bring up the problem of suffering, you know, it's like, how can God allow evil in the world?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't have an intellectual answer for you. Everybody likes to say it's like, oh, it's because humans sin, like you sin. It's like, okay, you know, I was saying this the other day. It's like, cancer doesn't exist because you sinned. You know, you were born into a world where there's cancer. And then people go, oh, it's the sin of Adam. It doesn't matter. Like, hurricanes and tornadoes and cancer and death, they don't exist because human beings sinned, right? It's like, you're going to suffer those regardless of your sin. Mary suffered those. Jesus suffered those. That's what this world is, right? And so it's like, I don't have an intellectual answer for that. But what I do have is the cross. I have God becoming human being and dying on the cross. And so something about being like, God, why have you abandoned me? It's not that God like left Jesus. It's not that God was like, I'm not going to be with you. I'm just going to like leave. It's more like the story of Job. It's like he lets us face the terror of this world, the suffering of this world. But it's not that he's not there with us. It's that he just let us, he didn't protect us from it, right? And so that question of like, why did you abandon me? It's kind of like, well, yes and no. Like, it's more like, why did you allow me to face this trouble? Why did you allow me to face this suffering? And I think that's a really fair question to ask. I think we need to. I think it's like, if Jesus, the Son of, if God himself is asking himself that question while he's dying, I think that gives us carte blanche to ask that questions in our life as well. You know, and I think you need to. It's like, if he's doing it, we need to as well. And then what's the answer? Well, the answer is, I don't know, but the answer is take it to prayer. And the answer is reflect on it. And the answer is use that as an opportunity to encounter God. But I guess it's just one of those difficult things where it's like, I don't have an answer, but I think it's an important process for people to go through, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the beautiful thing. This is where like theology needs to end and relationship begins to have like an effective reality, right? Like, it's no longer a, I know about God, but I know God's response to this in my life, you know? Like, because like theology will get you to a point of like understanding what to expect, because we can look at the cross and theology teaches us It is only through the cross that we have Easter. It is only through death that we have resurrection. It is only through, you know, the darkness that we can understand and see the light. It's an awakening in a lot of ways, right? And it's a journey that we take in and through and with Jesus. But that's where the theology ends. That's where we know what to kind of expect, but we don't know what to expect that Jesus is going to say in our hearts and in our lives. And that's kind of a good thing to some extent, because Jesus loves to shock us. He loves to give us thrill. When he shows up when we don't expect it, you know, which leads us to my next point. In Luke chapter 24, verse 36, while they were speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. That is, I myself, touch me and see. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see that I have." So they were shocked, clearly shocked by, you know, they went from believing that all hope was lost, that the person that they had put all their hope and faith in had died. They heard, this is the crazy part, that first line, while they were still speaking about this, what is the this that they were speaking about? That is literally the rumors that some people saw Jesus alive and walking around, which admittedly probably terrified them, because think about it. If the authorities just found out that the person that they had killed and buried was somehow walking around alive, they're not going to believe that it's true. So who are they going to come after? His followers. You know, we thought we could put down this little rebellion of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. Well, they're trying to parade that he's still alive. So it looks like we're not stopping with just the leader. We got to take care of everybody else. So that's why they're troubled, right? And the peace that Jesus is giving them is beyond the world, right? And he's reassuring them that it's not just a ghost, that death has been conquered, that his body still bears the scars of death, but they have no hold on him. Oh, it's just awesome. It's beautiful. But there's something in here that I kind of want to talk about. The why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? I just kind of outlined the historical perspective that we could probably put on to the apostles of the time. But I wonder how many times in our lives does our perspective, we're expecting some sort of natural occurrence, or even maybe sometimes supernatural occurrence to take place. We expect Jesus to act in a certain way because we see maybe a slight pattern in our lives or a pattern in other people's lives. And how many times does that make us troubled when God acts outside of that pattern, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a level in which, you know, they've never encountered something like this before, you know, like him rising from the dead. Like, they didn't think it was going to happen. And so when it did, you know, it's just blown their minds. But
yeah,
on another level, it's just interesting that he comes back physical too. You know, like in Christianity, we have this image that you're just like this spirit. But it's like we kind of forget that the resurrection is like a physical thing that happens, despite him being, you know, what do you call it? Transfigured? Yeah. Despite him being transfigured. So, I don't know. I guess I won't go on about that because that's just an interesting theological idea. I'll stick to your point here. But, yeah, I don't know.
I think there's something beautiful to that, right? Because if we look at what we did through Lent, we kind of held things back from our bodies you know, either consuming entertainment or, you know, even if we did something more, like more prayer, we still had to say no to something else, you know, like holding back on eating meat on Fridays, at least, you know, doing little fasts throughout this season. And I think it's interesting, right? Because we're kind of, sometimes I think it's looked at as like we're suppressing the body so that the spirit can become strong, but we're suppressing the flesh so the spirit might become strong. The flesh being those inordinate desires, because our bodies are to be respected. And we see through Jesus that, look at my hands and my feet and my side. He's revealing to us how he wants to resurrect our bodies, or resurrect us. It's not just our souls. It's our souls and our bodies. I heard in theology, I think my theology 101 class, honestly, a very fruitful class because of the professor. Did you take that with me?
I don't think so.
Okay. I forget the priest's name that taught that class, but he was great. He said something that really struck me. He said that heaven is more of a state than a place, but it's still a place. Meaning, it's both a spiritual state, but it's also a place. And he kind of, I don't think he extended this, but it makes sense how we can understand that our own podcast title, We Live Under an Open Heaven. We can live within a state of heaven. We can live within a state of resurrection power, right? We can. And that's kind of where I'm hoping to leave us off with as we reflect of, like, how does God want to bring us into a state, a physical and a state of heaven? How does he want to do that today? Not just when we die, but like today. Where do you think God might be like guiding you? For me, I think it is where my feet are, having a peace, having a sense of comfort in my family, within my heart and my mind with God, regardless of feeling let down by the situational struggles. You know, I think that's where God is trying to lead me right now. Stephen, do you have any final thoughts to wrap us up?
Maybe just that, you know, maybe like the overall theme of this day. I guess there's kind of three different points because we kind of went through all the Easter stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what's the point of Easter, right? It's like there's the abandonment by God, and then there's rising from the dead. And I guess the overall point here is, like, we kind of have an overall, I guess, schema for how we're supposed to live. It's like, serve other people while you're alive. Mm-hmm. Trust in God through the suffering of life that is mm-hmm. feeling abandoned by God. And then just remember to always have peace with you, because in the end, there is a physical resurrection. And God is ultimately going to, like, if you want to complain about all that justice, you know, save it for the next life. Like Jesus says, like, there's no one who won't be repaid more than 100 times over, you know, who gives up stuff. And so it's like, you know, God's going to get the justice in the end. So just have peace for now. Just kind of trust that, you know, even if you feel abandoned, God's there with you. And just always try to make the humble choice. That's just, I don't know, just kind of recapping. Seems like the overall theme.
Beautiful. I love it, Stephen. I love it. All right. Stephen, would you like to end us in a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, please allow us always to be reminded of your presence, both as, you know, the servant Son of God, as well as the God incarnate on the cross, and help us to always pick up that cross, to be humble, to reject ourselves, and to always trust that even when we feel abandoned, you will always have joy and peace waiting for us, both in the moment and 100 times over in eternity. We ask you to give us these things, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Take care and God bless. Bye.
Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We hope that this podcast blessed you. And we ask, if it did, Share that with the people that you love so that it can bless them as well. If you want to reach out to us, we are available on Facebook. We are Under an Open Heaven. Our email address is underanopenheaven.fire@gmail.com. And we are on Instagram at underanopenheaven.fire. So please go give those a gander and send us any feedback that you want. We would be happy to reply to you. God bless. Bye.